This is PHPBB Weekly, episode number 157, recorded live on Thursday, July 22nd, 2010, from the OSCON Invasion Birdies of a Feather session at OSCON 2010 in Portland, Oregon. Thank you, everyone, for those of you who did come. As you can tell, we're doing this kind of a semi-formal thing. I'm going to just introduce the session we're doing, then I'll introduce the key players. Actually, my name is Douglas Bell, and I'm kind of a former member of the PHPBB teams. I am now more of an active community member with the PHPBB community. I co-host and produce a podcast about the show as kind of as a service to the community. And this is the second year that I've put on, helped to sort of alongside with a lot of support from the PHPBB team members, which are represented by these four people in the front row. I'll introduce them in a second. I have been able to organize this as sort of a local opportunity to meet up, bring people together in real life in addition to what we do online alongside the OSCON conference. And so this is kind of serves as a dual function, a way for us to reach out from our project to the open source community through OSCON, and a way for us to kind of also come together and get to meet up with each other and social and get to network and really have a lot of great opportunities to converse. Our representatives from the PHPBB teams are here. Yuri Rusko. I always say that wrong. Rusko?
Yeah.
I had it right there. Okay. We're fighting over his name forever. He is the support team leader, and so he oversees the group of people who offer support for the software. Next to him, Nathan Guzzi. Got that right? Okay, and he's on the mod team, as is Sam Thompson. And the mod team, they both spend time when people submit, developers can write extensions or modifications to the PHPBB software, and they review it, kind of like an iPhone App Store type of thing, only a little less controversial. And also we have Cullen Walsh, who is part of the moderator team. So it helps to keep the site running. And actually, so what we're going to do for this session is we're going to have a couple of short presentations. Colin's going to talk a little bit about PHPBB. I have a special guest here, Laurel Van Fossen, who is not a member of the PHPBB community per se, but is very knowledgeable. She's from the Portland area. She's very knowledgeable about a lot of different things with bringing communities together on websites, and is a part of a number of great projects, and so she's a very good friend of mine, so I'm very grateful she also came to help, and you're going to look forward to her. She's a great presenter. So we're actually going to invite, and then after that, we were going to have at least a good 20 minutes, so if you guys have questions about PHPBB or organizing a community yourselves, we'd love to make this really that's more of the informal part, get an open conversation going, because this is really what we're trying to do here. So it's sort of a semi-formal session, and I look forward to it. And so I'd like to welcome Colin Walsh to talk a little bit about what we do at PHPBB.
Hi, I'm Colin, as just been introduced. Hi. I feel like I'm Colin. I've used PHPBB for 3 years. I forget when I joined PHPBB. I have a nice presentation you can see, and we have no projector. So, woohoo.
So you have to do it through interpretive dance.
Yes. So all of you listening
on. I'm going to play the sperm. I just got that. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Welcome to 5 Stars.
Yeah. Welcome to PHPBB,
okay.
Creating Communities.
When you're building community, you first question, know what you want. Okay. A forum is the wrong answer. If your answer is, I want to make a forum, you really are looking at this the wrong way, okay? Oh, if you have a slide that says the forum is the wrong answer. Okay, why are you creating your site? What is the purpose of this site? What is different from your site in relation to all the other sites on your subject? If you're creating a website about gaming, you aren't the first one. Believe it or not, there are other websites about games, whether it could be for your guild or your whatever group that you play with, or about a specific company or a specific game. People have already made it. Why should, what does your site give that's different from all those other sites that would make people come? Then who will be coming to your site? If I'm creating a website that's for, know your audience. If my audience is 60-year-old grandmothers, you might need to help them make it to your site. I mean, you definitely can have a successful site, but you need to know that technology generational might be different, okay? Why will they be coming? For what reason they come to your site? Why should they come back to your site? How will people find your site? Okay? Google, if you just put your site, Google eventually will find it, but that won't drive traffic to your website. You need to have content, okay? You need to have a reason for them to come back to discuss with the other members of the site and to look up information. Okay? Don't spam. Advertising is fine. Advertising is a great way to drive people to your site, but spam is not beneficial. It'll drive people away. There are plenty of people on phpb.com. We get plenty of people that are like, hey, can you please come to my site? It's brand new. I just opened it. You're reaching an audience that really has no reason that they want to go. Okay? If you have a site about dogs, yes, I like dogs. Who doesn't? Who doesn't like puppies? But I'm not just going to randomly go to a puppy site without any reason advertised on a bulletin board software forum. It doesn't make sense. Okay? But good ways to drive traffic to your site is use a signature in website fields of similar sites. Okay? I know that I have been browsing around phpb.com and found websites, oh, this looks interesting. It's a computer site in Seattle about Linux or about this specific particular thing that I found interesting. I might go to that and might join. Facebook is a wonderful way to drive people to your site. You can buy ads if appropriate and if you have the means and if it really applies. I know with Facebook, for example, you can actually target specific people that I want people that like apple pies, that say they like apple pies, that live in this area. If I want a Portland area Seattle pie bulletin board, or apple pie, I just said Seattle. Targeted campaigns to drive people to your site will go much, much further in getting traffic than untargeted ones. How will your site be organized? Getting off of that. How will your site be organized? The worst thing I've seen is a website, a new bulletin board, that has 20 forums on it. Because you're not suddenly get a surge of traffic to fill up those 20 forums. It looks like your new website is completely barren. You start out with the base essentials that you need. As something emerges that you really need it separated out, separate it out at that point. It's really easy with any bulletin board software, no matter if it's PHPB, WordPress, Joomla, Drupal. It's very easy to expand and contract as necessary. You don't have to start out right away as expecting a huge surge of visitors. Are there any legal issues? If you're running a medical related board, you need to know all of these all the legal issues related to it, related to privacy, etc. And how many people do you expect? If you're playing an online game and and this site is for your guild, you know your audience. You know how many people to expect. You know what the requirements are, what type of stuff they'll want to talk about. You know that they'll hopefully bring in new users. But don't expect it to go to millions of people or thousands of people. But if you have a smaller site, maybe expect maybe 10, 20 users at first. If it expands, good. Then you might have to make different plans. But plan small at the beginning. And then how do you, yes, that goes hand in hand with how do you plan on expanding? But most importantly, why are people going to stay on your site? You need to give them content and make it interactive. If that means creating a social section so that they can just talk with people that have their same interest, maybe nothing even related to what you have, what your general topic of your site is, that might be necessary. Okay? If it helps bring together your community, you should do whatever you want. Or whatever you can to bring together your community, not just what you think is cool. Okay, I shifted topics now to moderation. Okay, when moderation, if you have no authority on your site, you get chaos. Okay, and there is no one-size-fits-all way to handle moderation on a website, whether it's PHPB, Joomla, etc. Okay, prepare for any situation, prepare rules, but be flexible. On phpb.com, if a new user comes like say, hey, I could just create a new site, PHPB is really cool, here it is. We don't allow those types of topics, we consider them spam. But I'm not about to ban this new user who just like, hey, is really interested in PHPB. That would drive people away and be really bad for building the community. They can, like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but they can become a very useful member of the community. Don't hide what you expect from your users. If you expect them to be polite to them. Act the way that you expect them to act. And know how to handle various situations. Know how to handle spam. How should your moderators react? How do you handle competitors coming on to advertise their specific site, trying to lure users away from you? How do you handle profanity on the site? Maybe it's a site where you don't care if people swear. Maybe it's a site that you're expecting children, and it's really a big deal. You want to keep it safe for them. If people begin fighting, what's the best way to break it up and stop the arguing so that the community can grow rather than just be torn apart? Forum games. If someone creates a gaming topic that's just kind of pulling people away from whatever you're trying to do. Obnoxious avatars. If someone has a bright blinking avatar or a signature, or a signature that extends a whole page in itself, that's kind of a problem. If banned users are returning constantly after you've banned them, how do you handle them? Do you just, how are you going to block them? How do you handle criticism of your site? If someone comes in and posts like, I hate your site, blah, blah, blah. Know how to handle all of these situations. That isn't exhaustive. Whatever else applies in your specific situation. On PHPB.com, we have at least a 50-page guide explaining all of these certain situations. If someone comes in and says, I hate PHPB.com because the team members suck, we have guidelines on how exactly we should handle this. How should we best defuse the situation, respond to it respectfully, but closing the topic and just hiding it away just spawns more criticism, for example. Know how to handle each of those situations. That's all I had because I kind of ran out of time. Any other questions? I figure you have a talk. Any questions in particular about what I blasted over? Yes. It's the 50-page guide is for the moderators, right. and for the team.
Do you expect each moderator to spend a bunch of time reading it, or is it sort of indexed where you go to individual parts of it when you get some situation?
Yeah, when people join the moderator team, we definitely encourage them to try and read through all of it, or at least skim through, know what types of stuff is in there, and
they can use it as examples.
Yeah, and use it as examples. As I said, the rules that you have on your forum and the guidelines that you have to moderate should be flexible, okay? I sometimes don't do exactly what it says in those guidelines because the situation warrants a different way to handle it. You should know, really have examples of what to do, but be prepared to break them in reasonable ways. Anything else? Okay.
Thank you, good job.
Okay. Colin is one of our many PHPB experts, and he will be around after this if you want to get some more discussion. And we'll have some open Q&A afterwards. All right. Laura also wants to sit there, so hopefully we'll get the mics to. How's your mic?
Oh, I think you guys can hear me without any problem.
Okay. I'd like to welcome Laurel to tell us a little bit about getting community involvement just in overall. And so she's a wonderful speaker, so pass it to her.
I was on the first CompuServe, and I remember when we had to spell the CompuServe with a capital S, and it was the only way we could communicate. Before that, I was on ARPANET, so I'd been doing this a long time. I know my shit. I know lots of it. So I know the forums from the earliest, when they were all text, and then they became pictures. And then people start putting those blinking flashing shit. Oh, my God. And signatures that are this long. So I have the proud honor of being one of the first people in the world to have a real website. Yes, I have been doing this for a very, very long time. I do know my shit. One of the oldest websites in the world that's still in existence is called CameraOnTheRoad.com. That's me. It's gone through a few different domain names changes because they used to be home pages, not web pages. So you can tell I've been doing this a very long time. I also have the famous Laurel on WordPress on one of the first websites, first blogs on WordPress.com, and I'm very involved in the WordPress community.
as an evangelist and a keynote speaker, and I travel all over the world teaching workshops and training programs everywhere. Enough on me. Look me up. As they all say, Google me. How many of you have a forum now? Be proud. How many have a forum now?
Partial one.
You have what?
I had 120,000
forums. Rock on. Rock on. You know this shit better than I do then. Well, they haven't changed that much. Forums used to be what are the equivalent of today's blogs and Twitter and Facebook. Forums were our voices. Forums were the way that we communicated with each other, and we created communities like communities. Using CompuServe as an example, which eventually became AOL and yada, 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 yada. It was a community. I hit the road in 1996 full-time. 2 years before that, I joined the RV community on CompuServe because I needed to know how to work a trailer. I needed to know how to dump the sewer. The first week I joined, I got a tip that paid for 1 year's subscription, which was, when you are dumping the sewer on your RV, put your foot or something extremely heavy, like a large boulder or cement block, not a brick, on the end of the sewer hose, because when you do open it up, imagine the fire hose effect of 40 gallons of water going whoosh, okay? So I learned that I had to put my foot on there. And that was enough that, I learned from people who had experienced these things so that I didn't have to experience them myself. And I found a tremendous community. And it was amazing when we hit the road, I was able to stay with these people that I had never met. I just heard about them online, was able to stay with them. It was like family. I just showed up and it was not a problem. They didn't care. I could have been anybody. And it was incredible. I met some of the best people in the world, and some of them I still haven't met in person. Forums are phenomenal places to find people of like minds. And that today is still true. It's expanded with blogs, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter and whatnot, but I think that forums and blogs still bring those together. And there's a new, if any of you are using WordPress, there's now BuddyPress as a plugin you can add on to it, and it adds a social layer. And when that social layer is combined with forums and the blog, it recreates that entire feeling that we used to have with CompuServe and stuff. It was very exciting to allow people to back channel each other and create their own little sites and everything all on your blog to have that full experience from every different angle. So here's some really quick tips, and then I want to talk about the challenges that you guys are facing. First of all, if you don't build it, they won't come. Now you guys have heard this the other way around, right? If you build it, they will come. For me, if you don't build it, they won't come. How many of you have projects, you're 10 years out of date, that you've wanted to do, you've wanted to launch these sites, you've wanted to launch these forums, and you haven't? Launch it, fix it later. Get on with it. If you don't build it, they ain't going to show up. That's just the truth of it. So if you have the dream, you have the vision, get off your ass and get it done. Because you're not helping the world. You're not finding an audience because you're not moving forward. Talk about everything in the world except your company and you. This is really important. I don't go to a forum. I don't go to a blog. I don't go anywhere to find out about you. I am sick of people smearing their sites with, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm good for this, I'm the expert, I'm the guru, I'm this. I don't care. All I want is the information. I want the help. Take that stuff, put it on your about page, put it on your contact page, be done with it. Little thing in your sidebar, this is what you're here, because this is what I know. The rest of it, serve up information that's helpful. Give us the information that applies to the people who visit your site. You use the words, they're going to help them find you, and give them what they're there for. Don't talk about you, don't talk about your company. Just enough to let them know that you're an expert. Get on with it. You need to play nice in the sandbox. You need to have everybody else play nice in the sandbox. Liz Strauss has probably one of the best, most powerful guidelines for commenting on her blog. The PHPBB has 50 pages. Mm-hmm. She has two words. Play nice. You don't play nice, you're kicked out of the sandbox. Along that line, comments and forum posts are content. You control all the content on your site. You choose to allow a comment or a post to stay or go. And I have this kind of rule. If it immediately pisses me off, I'll let it sit there for 24 to 48 hours. Then I'll make a decision. I will not respond immediately. If it makes me sick to my stomach and I cannot walk away from my computer without running to the toilet to throw up because it hits me right at that gut level that this is not right, it's gone. Because I want to sleep tonight. Seriously. I need to sleep, and so do my readers, and so do my moderators, and so do the rest of the people involved in my site. And if it hits me at that gut level, the odds are it's probably going to hit them. But if it makes me angry, that's a good thing, because it could encourage discussion. So think about it. You can put it in moderation. You can make a lot of different choices, but you have control over it. You have a delete button, and I'm the fastest delete button pusher in the world, because I'm an expert at many, many years of reading these things and trying to tell the difference between what's spam and what's not. Boom, you're gone.
But you know, there was a time you said you wished you had a toilet flush sound every time you click spam.
Yes, I do. Akismet, I want to have built into the Akismet WordPress plugin, I want to have the toilet flush. Yeah. I think it's appropriate. I want them gone.
Yes.
So you are in charge of it. You as the moderator, you as the blogger, the author behind this thing, in addition to what he so beautifully said, you need to ask yourself, who the hell are you? Who are you? Are you the teacher? Are you the lecturer? Are you the student? Are you the person who's sharing information? Let's walk hand in hand, kumbaya, through all the roses. Who are you? Because who you are and the persona that you take on will dictate the responses. If you were the expert guru of the world, what kind of responses and interaction do you think you're going to get? Not much. You know everything. Not a lot of room. If you explain everything to death as the lecturer or the teacher, there's no room for questions because you've just told us everything. If you are the sharer and you're just sharing information, who's going to ask you anything? Because you're just sharing doesn't mean you know anything. Who you are in your persona dictates the response and the interactivity. So think about what is that persona that you are presenting. And that will attract an audience. It will also attract specific interaction. And if you are not getting, this is what I hear a lot of times when I'm doing blog workshops and things, people say, well, I'm not getting any comments in my blog. How can I get more comments? And they think, I'm going to join a link exchange. I'm going to go and make everybody link to me and get all these links and blog roles and stuff like that, and then people will come talk to me. It's not going to happen either. By the way, link exchanges are dead. Don't do it. Look at the tone of voice and the persona that you're creating every time you publish something, every time you respond. Look at that and see who that person is and if that person is inviting interaction. You know what it's like to sit there and talk to a know-it-all? No room to say anything. Make room for people to have a conversation. Because you're picking a persona and a character and choosing the content, you need to think about, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to last? I'm going to give you some numbers. Whether you're on a forum or you have a blog or whatever it is, if you publish once a week, that's 52 articles, content, video, podcasts a year. 50 is usually the average. People like those little 2 weeks is sick or day or weeks off. If you're doing three times a week, that's 150. Okay. If you start thinking with those kinds of numbers, it changes your whole mindset about what kind of content that you're putting out, because now it's about quantity. That may dictate quality. To do a video or to do a screencast or a podcast, how long does it take you to produce it? Can you do it in 2 seconds and have it up, loaded, and ready to go? No. you may want to edit it. You have to put production time into the pocket too. So if you're doing, let's say, 50 episodes, 50 podcasts, 50 videos, or whatever is your content, a week, I mean, a week, I've done that, a year, how much production time is that going to take? What? Look at your whole time schedule, look at what you can do, and break it into that. And I recommend that you look at content inventory building, not just community, but look at the community, look at the interest, but look at a way of building your content. Think TV seasons. You know that you all know this because we've grown up with it, that they'll film in like 2 or 3 months, they will film 26 to 28 episodes. Then they'll have a few month break, and they'll come in, and they'll do, you know, the next batch. You can do the same thing. So if you're doing 50, you can do 25 and do them in 2 to 3 weeks, and then let your site, you can use, I don't know, does BB, PHP BB have future posts?
Not yet.
Shame on you.
I think there might be a mod for that.
Okay.
I wonder.
But things like WordPress and other blogs.
Drafts.
Okay, you can save drafts. You can put the stuff up there and let your sites work for you. But think ahead. Even if you have a forum, always think ahead. Always be thinking about, get out an editorial calendar and say, okay, these are the topics this year that we need to focus on. Now, what are we going to say about these? What's going to be the vision of it? What's going to happen with us? And create an editorial calendar and stick to it. Say, okay, we're going to talk about, you know, how do you generate the energy and enthusiasm? You have to plan it out. You have to moderate what's gone in the past. You have to create that editorial calendar so that you can drive that energy forward. Even if it's a whatever thing. I am Woopra. Woopra is live real-time web analytics. We plot out, once a year, we plot out our whole agenda for our blog content, our forum posts, the issues that we need to deal with on an editorial basis, and then we create that through the rest of the year of what are the topics that we need to talk about, how we're going to generate interest, what are the things that need to be covered that people need to know about, and we plot that out and go for it. So it's, you know, we have forum, we have the blog, we have the Twitter, we have all these things going on. We have to chart that course. You can do the same thing with whatever you're running. It makes a huge difference. Now, I just want to tell you, if you decide to publish something daily, that's 340 things a year minimum. That's a lot of content. And in case you want to know, because I manage a lot of websites, and I guess blog, I do all kinds of things, I publish, just publish, doesn't mean the drafts, 1,975 articles a year on average. That's a lot of planning of content that has to go into it. That's a lot of work. But think seasonally like the TV. Last thing before I want to answer, we're here to answer your questions because we've got some major experts here. And I want you to think about your content in the form of storytelling. And there's several aspects in the art of storytelling that I love. And one is, when you tell a story, you're preserving culture, you're preserving history, you're guiding somebody along an adventure and a path to the end, to make a point, to get to a metaphor, make a joke, whatever it is. But the most important part in the art of storytelling when you are publishing content of any kind is the ability to connect with people at that basic level, which I find most in forums and blogs. And that is having somebody come up to you and go, oh my God, you're just like me. You're just like me. I thought I was alone. It used to be once a month, now it's like every couple weeks, I get an email from somebody who says, you're Laurel, I'm a Laurel. Oh my God, I thought I was the only one. You're a Laurel. How cool. I grew up, I thought I was so special and yada, yada. So on a whim, there's actually more of us than you'd think. Laurel is me, my name, Laurel. And Laurel is a last name in France. It's like the equivalent of Johnson here in the United States, I found out. So I grew up thinking I was really, you know, something special. I was a Laurel. There was only one Laurel, and there was the only Laurel, and I found out pretty early in life, luckily, that wasn't true. It was very humbling. But I thought that I would check out the Laurels, because one of the people emailed me said, we need to have a Laurel meetup. All the Laurels of the world who think they're so special because they have such a unique name should all get together once a year, and we should, share notes, and I thought, wow, what kind of a community is that? A bunch of Laurels. That's just kind of weird. So I decided, I put a search up on Twitter to search for what Laurels were doing on Twitter. I'm embarrassed to be a Laurel. Oh my God, are they doing some really embarrassing, humiliating things. But there is that connection of when two Laurels meet. They do, they're like, oh my God, you're like me. You were special because you had a weird name. Nobody can pronounce it, nobody can spell it. And you must be special because it sounds like a special kind of name. When you write something about an alcoholic thing, a drug thing, a personal thing, a death in the family, whatever it is, you're connecting with people. How many of you know Robert Scopel, of the Scopelizer? Okay. Do you know how he got famous? Do you really know how he got famous?
Is it a mystery?
No, it's out there. He was known, but not famous, for telling Bill Gates to go to hell and that he was an idiot. So Gates hired him. That made him his first step towards it. But what knocked him over from being amusing and mildly entertaining and providing information on Microsoft was when his mother was dying. And he decided to turn his business blog over to that topic of how do you have a humane death and our right to die. Because he came off the high horse of, I'm going to talk anything I want about Microsoft, and I have the right, as somebody hired directly by Bill Gates, and part of my contract is I can say anything I want about Microsoft. He came down from that and said, my mother is dying. She's in a coma. She's a vegetable. There is no brain activity. And yet she's going to eat up all the rest of her retirement, all of my father's savings and everything, sitting attached to a machine, and it could be years. And she has gotten sick in a state that does not have that humane treatment. And I can't think, I can't write about Microsoft. All I can think about is my mom, and I'm going to share that story. His readership went up by tens of thousands, and within the 3 weeks of him talking about it, it went up to hundreds of thousands. Because people all over the world said, that could be me, or that is me. He's just like me. When you share that, I'm not saying he took a huge risk talking about something personal on a professional site. But when you take that risk to show who you are and who the real person is behind the persona, your community changes and it reaches up and it builds. So that's part of the magic of storytelling, is to let people know that you're just like me, I'm just like you, and you find that connection. So thank you. What's questions?
So I have a question. What subjects do you write?
Me? Yeah. I write about mostly technical writing. So I write about WordPress and blogging, the art of blogging mostly. But I'm also a travel writer, and I'm a professional nature and travel photographer. So I write about that. I also do a lot of work on inspiration and personal training and life coaching stuff. And I have for decades before I even know that it had the title Life Coach. It was new thing. But I do a lot of motivational speaking and stuff. But mostly it's technical. I'm a coder hacker. And I know how to... This is part of my skill. This is a real rare skill set. And Douglas knows this. I know how to break things, especially when it comes to code. I've been alpha testing for Microsoft, and I've done for WordPress since day one and all kinds of different program sites. I was the world's first WordPress plugin crash test dummy. I know how to break things, but more importantly, and this is where the skill is, I know how to explain it to others of how I broke it and tell them how to fix it. It's a real rare skill.
Since we have a little extra time, I'm going to steal. This is our recording mic.
No, so. Any more questions?
I always wanted to do a little, we have like 25 minutes. I wanted to throw in one little, talk a little, just a little bit more. To kind of bring this full circle. So first of all, thanks. We gave applause to Colin, Nikki Laurel. Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a couple of things that Laurel has mentioned that I would like to bring over to forums. One, but I think it's a great example that
While we tend to look, at least within the teams and in the community, a lot of, you know, saying, you know, forums, you look at the technical stuff, you can go to our website, phpbb.com, find all the technical stuff you want, all the documentation is there, how to set it up. I like to take these opportunities to, you know, step back and talk about this stuff, something about the soft skills. You don't find on our documentation, you know, when you get a community going, you are going to have to manage it. You have to be able to make it a something that people will connect with, something that people are actually interested in spending their time on. Actually, considering you will have to have moderators, you have to get trustworthy people to come and help you maintain this site as it grows. Because while when you get started, you know, you managing the site yourself will be great. But what happens when you get that spike of visitors? You start having 1,000 or even 10,000 users come on your site. You have to sleep sometime, and you have to think about, you know, you have to get trusted moderators. You may have to have rules, policies. Think about, you know, how am I going to handle the stuff with my site? And I think it's really good to take the time to think about the fact that, you know, it is a website. It has a purpose. Sometimes I've seen people create forums for general stuff. They have like a gazillion forums for every single topic in the world, which is not what you want to have, because that's no one's going to go to your site like that. There is no benefit. There's no value to a site like that. Sites exist for a purpose. Sure, you can have like a general discussion forum or whatever, but if people are joining your community, they are doing so because they found some kind of a connection, or they want to have some kind of a connection, and that is what the value of your site is going to be. And so we're looking at content. Granted, so we had a booth this year for the first time. We actually set up a booth here at OSCON, and it's been a very interesting experience, as we had a number of people come and ask us about a number of things. One, and we've got to explain some things. So one of the things we'd like to point out, you know, whereas we have, you know, forums like Laurel mentioned existed before we had blogs and Facebook and Twitter, yet they still have a place in our world. And I think I like to compare them to blogs, because when you blog, really, you control the content. You can allow other users, you can have other teams, but really it's a thing where you are writing the content to other people and they can comment on it. Whereas a forum really fills more of the void of anyone who is part of this community can come and write content and have conversations with each other. Whereas you may see people, you know, fancy ranks and stuff.
I have a thing that I want to put out to people on this, on that topic.
Yeah.
I am a major, major advocate of not having closed environments unless you're protecting children or a specific group. Mm-hmm. Okay? I think, and so when I find a trackback that goes to a forum, or something that's a closed environment that I must register in order to comment, it infuriates me to no end. I understand why. But I'd like to know from you guys what you think about the idea for forums. Blogs are a little different, but what do you think about forums being open or requiring registration?
You're welcome to talk.
Yeah,
We don't bite.
It seems like a little bit similar to some of the stuff you guys were saying earlier on, that it a lot depends on what you're trying to do with the forum. In other words, whether or not a forum is open or closed or not, it seems like that's very much a technology question. If you want to open or close it, presumably depends significantly on what you're trying to do with the forum and who you're trying to involve and why.
Wait a minute, let's see.
I first got my CompuServe account in 1989, so I have a lot of exposure with forums, as you do, and also one of the ancient ones, I guess you can
say.
But one thing I noticed with regards to forums, as you mentioned so rightly, it depends on what you want to do and how you want the feel of the forum to be.
How does closing it change the feel?
I've seen forums, whether they're on CompuServe or regular bulletin boards, where people assume a certain identity, mm-hmm. and they hide behind that identity. They can become abusive behind that identity and refuse to stand behind their words because they can't hide. Now, one thing I have seen with people who do have blogs and want comments is they've moved to that direction of requiring people to sign in. Once they have, people still contribute thoughtful replies, but a lot of the nastiness goes away.
Really?
because people are having to stand by their name.
If you require a real name,
sure.
How do you yeah, I could be Sally Smith.
Exactly. And no,
it's as real a name as anything.
Exactly. But it's just it's catering more, or it's bringing out more of a level of professionalism than if people could just simply hide. And again, this is what I've heard of other people when they've opened it up in general, when they started and then migrated over.
Yeah. So in part of that came with the movement of transparency. And Douglas and I just had this discussion. He is well known as being Mac Web Hufa.
Some name then.
Okay. And I said, I want him to be Douglas Bell. I'm so tired of the Mac Web. Because I can't remember even how to spell it. And one of the most incredible, amazing baking chefs in the world is Ed Morita. And he's known as based on the old days of forums, and it has no vowels in it. It's Night Blaster, but it has no vowels. It's all, and I can never remember how to spell it. That's really complicated because nobody knows who he is, and Night Blaster doesn't sound like a chef. So he can hide behind it, but it isn't who he is. It isn't who he really is. And about 3 years ago, there was a huge movement that came out of the blog community that if you aren't who you are, we don't care about you. We don't trust you, so we want you to be your name. And .me sites are going through the roof, and just in the last day or so, they launched the .co sites. So please get, if you didn't get, you know, I now own Laurel.co. I missed Laurel.com because I thought, you know, who's going to choose it? Nobody has that name. I missed it by 3 weeks. So CO is going to be treated the same way as .com. There's no change in, you know, the thing. So it's just an abbreviation trying to go for the whatever. Twitter got T.co, so they can get the tiny URLs. Anyway, but hiding behind those names, you are not creating trust in any way, shape, or form. From my experience, I haven't seen the registration changing that. Jerks are going to get in no matter what. So it's just a tiny thing to get. And any of you who are using CAPTCHAs, CAPTCHAs work best with registrations, not with comments or posts. They work, forum posts, they work with registration slightly, but every caption ever created has been broken by the pros within less than 2 weeks. Mm. Math formula ones, you only have a finite number of possible answers, they're broken right away. They do not work, and they never have.
The 2-week statistic, where did you get that?
Where did I get that? That's been around for like 6 years. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been that way. 6 years ago, 6 years ago, the study was done. It was done in 2 weeks. That's now, there's pros out there. It's a multi-billion, almost reached the trillion-dollar market for spamware.
We had a capture that ran for about 5 months without everyone was trying. There were versions coming out of XRunner and so on. It's about six, seven months.
And then somebody broke it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it
gets broken.
Not 2 weeks.
Yeah, but this is the average stats that came from like 6 years. Yeah, for about 5 or 6 years ago.
It's an average.
Yeah, and so that was what the number was then. I don't know what the number is now, but that was what they're. But they break them. That's their job to break it. And plus a huge number. Well, this is something you need to know. Part of that $1 trillion industry is human spammers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's human spammers will break those because they're human. They'll type in the stuff and get through it. Doesn't matter.
Our strategy right now is to create distributed systems like questions, which are which administrators can customize, and then that's far more difficult to fight against because
unless a human comes up to it and then they answer the question.
Well, and if you're
by definition of the system of CAPTCHA.
Yeah.
But if you're depending on a CAPTCHA, though, to be your only form of spam protection, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know,
right.
You're talking about how you're not a fan of registrations, but for example, and all of this stuff you're talking about for a more personal forum, we're talking about for a professional, like a support forum.
I'm talking about everything.
We're talking about for a support forum where they have different requirements. But we found that if you have someone create an account and maybe approve the first post, yes, they will have more questions, but you can catch spammers. The first post will usually be spam, and you can just catch them right then. It's been a long time since any spam has been publicly seen on PHP.com, I think.
We have a 100% success rate.
Yes.
You know. So I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about, at a very high level, the PHBBB roadmap. Sort of what you're thinking of for the next few years.
Okay. I'm not on the development team. One of the things PHP has had consistently is we don't have release dates. Okay? Just want to get that straight out there. So... if I give any times here, I don't.
About that. I'm more actually curious about sort of features and general direction.
Yeah,
because there hasn't been much new in a long, long time.
Yes, the feature freeze for version 3.1 just happened. Let me pull up the feature list.
Sunday, I think. Saturday. Yeah. Saturday.
Saturday or Sunday?
17th.
So let me.
Saturday.
Let me pull up the announcement.
It's on the blog. It's on the blog.
Oh, it's on the blog. Okay. Thank you. and that includes
a lot of developer stuff.
Some improved page styles, avatar improvements, template engine, completely new BB code engine to make it easier to support multiple BB codes. Modular Chrome, hook architecture to make it much easier for someone to create a mod that you can just upload files. And it'll be included. One of the benefits of PHPBB in its current state with a lacking architecture is that it's able to be much more efficient. It doesn't have to be bogged down by these template hooks. But moving to a modular system would make it much easier to install such stuff. Soft delete, which has been asked for a while. Being able to, if you delete a topic, you might be able to bring it back.
Trash can type of thing.
Trash can type system.
Yeah.
Mod installer that's integrated. Right now we have AutoMod, which is a really simple installation. You upload the mod, say, install this for me. It tries its best to install it. If it has trouble, it asks you to finish the installation and do it manually. And it works pretty darn well for every single mod in our mod database. They're tested against AutoMod. Correct?
Yes.
This is
start to have multiple ones on top of each other, there's a chance it could go a little awkward. Mm-hmm. This is things that hopefully, in very long term, we're going to have a new architecture, plug-in type of system, which will be much nicer.
And then there's a ton of stuff that isn't nearly as interesting. that I could go through, but it's more behind the scenes to improve performance. The new versioning structure of PHPBB is minor versions for bug fixes. Major versions like 3.1 and 3.2 will be will be feature releases, which are hopefully going to be much more frequent. And then PHPBB 4.0 will be a completely brand new release based on the Symfony framework, which will be much, much, much more modular. Upload a file and you have completely new functionality.
How far are you along on the
4.0, right? 4.0 is currently in planning. No code's been written yet.
So get your input in now.
Yes! But if you want to be involved in PHPBB development, I would recommend going to area51.phpbb.com. That's the main development forum. It's running the latest and greatest release of whatever the current stable branch is, or unstable. Unstable. And it's where we're collecting RFCs they just closed the forum for PHPBB 3.1. I wouldn't be surprised if they start a forum, or if it already exists, for PHPBB 3.2. And there definitely exists a forum for PHPBB 4.0.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I do like to mention, since this is an open source project, is, we do this open source and free in all senses of the word. Everyone who participates is a volunteer. The only money we make from advertisements goes to help get us to events like this.
And really, those kinds of projects thrive on community involvement. So actually, what applies to your forums when you're using PHBBB applies to us as well. And you know what really helps us thrive is when we have like we have open support forums, when we have users that come on, spend some time, just you know, offer help for other people. It is one way of helping out. If you want to write mods or styles to help increase the different ways of extending the software, again, it just helps the community grow all the more. Trying to break things and then submit a bug report, say, hey, this doesn't work right. And this is how you can probably make it better. And there are and one of the things that our project has been doing, and that I've been using a kind of using my podcast as a bully pulpit for occasionally, is trying to push the project to be much more open to other community involvement. It's something that has been increasingly opening up over the years since I was a team member almost 5 years ago. And it was really great to see that moving forward. So I think that when we say we're creating communities, we also want to create our own community as an open source project, because really the only thing we get out of this is we like to be able, we are passionate about this stuff. That's why we do what we do. And it's nothing is more rewarding than to see people coming and helping to make it even better.
Go ahead. Did you have a question?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Largest installations. I know there are a bunch of different metrics that you can gauge large by. And what are, from sort of a dirt under the fingernail standpoint, the scaling issues for large installations?
Well, PHBBB.com has, I'm pulling up this. Most of the time we measure in posts and topics and users.
Yeah.
I've used it with thousands and thousands.
PHBBB.com has almost 3.5 million posts and 350,000 users.
It's based on the what the database your server can hold within the database. You know, you'll get more less on a shared, more on a VPN or something.
But that's ours like is hosted by OSU OSL right here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So.
Boxed.nl.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
At the moment, PHP.com has 107 simultaneous users online. That's running on a VM of a single server, and it's using, about 0.7 of 1.7%, less than a percent of capacity of that VM of that gigantic server. So a subsection of a server and 1% of the power of that one VM with 908 simultaneous users at the same time.
But in terms of like the largest boards, there's one board that has bokt.nl, B-O-K-T.nl, has 59 million posts, 1 million topics, and 140,000 users, if I'm reading this correctly. I don't read Dutch.
Anything interesting to get there?
I know that they have made some modifications to their board, but in general, PHBBB, its stock installation, performs up to 2.5 times faster than vBulletin or Envision PowerBoard. I've done the statistics myself. and that was in testing on a board with 1 million seeded with 1 million posts. So this isn't a fresh installation that really database size matters. In a reasonable size board, it does perform better.
Have you run it against BB Press?
What? I haven't found a converter to BB Press.
Oh.
What is BB Press?
It's the WordPress's version.
I did run it against.
It's still kind of
BB Press.
Small,
yeah,
though.
It sucks, but it handles bazillions of. It's really, really powerful, but it's real crippled.
I did test it when it didn't have any posts, and PHBBB was still better.
We have about 7 minutes before they kick us out.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I stopped at the booth, and I saw that you had some statistics about it.
Yes.
Would you want to speak about that?
Yes. PHBBB 3, when it was going through its development process in the RC stage, went through a full security audit by Section 9s. Which found no significant vulnerabilities, and since then, we've had no vulnerabilities that could someone could take over a board with. The one thing that people like, oh, you do have vulnerability, was a patch that there was some feature.
Is that the MySQL?
No, it was with a feed, and that in some very specific situations, stuff could be leaked out. That was patched within one day. Literally within one day.
There was a patch that was done for Phoenix, and unfortunately that patch opened up a hole, which allowed, assuming you had it turned on, would patch through private forums, so things that people didn't have access. There was no permission check whatsoever. That line was commented out. So I guess for debugging. But it was an issue for about a week because we released the PL version of that. So it was added in 3.07, and 3.07 PL1 was released, I think, 2 weeks later.
Oh, I thought it was,
as far as we know, not exploited by anyone at all.
One thing that's worth noting, you know, PHVB.
Yeah, compared to a bunch of, compared to all the other systems, it's pretty darn good. Out of only four problems out of 7 years. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty darn good track record.
It's worth noting, you know, the last major, what PHVB often has the bad security for, is from our previous version, very many years ago. You're bonking me. I want to make a point. You know, that was patched fairly quickly, but a lot of people did not upgrade. They were years behind on upgrading. And as such, when someone decided to exploit it, they Google searched for old versions that had not been updated in years. This happened a month after the patch was fixed. So I think it's worth noting, people hate upgrading their sites. And this is, I use WordPress, I've used Joomla, it's for everybody. That they just don't want to update.
Don't you have one-click upgrades?
We have like two or three-click upgrades, and we're getting there. It's a lot better than it was then. Granted, it's a lot better than it was then. So, but you know, I think that's worth noting. You know, again, one of the things you need to know is you have to take responsibility for your site when you install software. Everything is totally secure until someone finds an exploit. So you gotta be proactive about that. So.
Any other questions?
About 4 more minutes.
I have something that I want to bring up that I think y'all need to know because I think there's going to be some new laws, international laws, that are going to start coming up. Blogatree.com had over 70,000 blogs, albeit not all of them were probably legit. Anyway, they were just shut down in the last few days by the FBI. And you can read all about it at wordcast.net.com.
There's her free
Mashable.
Plug. That's her free plug of the day.
Yeah, I have the Wordcast Network. And the issue was everyone thought it was copyright. It's been happening for this past week, but everybody thought it was a copyright violation issue. It wasn't. It was terrorism. The FBI believed that there was a single blog on that network published something that was in support of Al-Qaeda and terrorism, and the entire network, it was a blog network, was shut down instead of just the single blog because it was using WordPress MU. The multi-user version. There is now a lot of controversy with the ease to create multiple network blogs, many of them which involved forums, as well as forums that have many different topics. And there is movement going through the governments and the court systems on how to deal with if one person does wrong, or one site on a subdomain, or some hosting that has nothing to do with a whole, it's only the single, of how to protect those agencies or how not to. How do you protect the whole when only one person is causing the trouble? Do keep your eye on that the next couple years. I think there's going to be some amazing changes in laws that may be good, may be bad. Please stay on top of it for those of us that want to support open communities to resist that control and restrictions that come with censorship in order to protect your liability rights. You know, it's really, it could tighten up big time and influence all of us. So pay attention to those. This one's really scary.
Interesting note to wrap up on, but as we are now at 8:00, I would like to thank all of you for spending the time to come join with us. And we hope you, if you are already part of PHVB, it's wonderful. And if you are not, you can get involved. And try out the software, which is, and we're all here. We're going to stick around for a little bit, have a chance.
Where can we find more information?
Okay, the website, phpbb.com. You can try it out there. You can find all the documentation. Join the forums. It's a great place. There are a lot of great people there. And also, a plug for myself, since I'm the one that's put this particular part of the event on, my podcast, which I've alluded to, is at phpbbweekly.net. And we have about almost 160 episodes worth of content all about the software, and we continue to do this on a weekly basis. And so you can check all those resources out. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and have a great trip back to wherever you came from in the next few days. Thank you.